13, and we have just maybe 10 verses of scripture that we want to read today. And if you found your place, would you say amen?
Amen.
And let's refresh ourselves in the Lord, and let's stand together, and we will reverence God's very precious word this morning. Verse 13 is where we begin our reading. Chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 13. And he says, "Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews; to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you." Father, we love you today, and we thank you for your great blessings. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your the sweetness of your fellowship. God, the depths of your love. God, the blessings that accompany of being a part of the body of Christ. Now, Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd help us for the space of a few minutes to stand and proclaim your gospel truth. And, Father, may we hear from heaven, and may you be the preacher today, and we'll give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. I'm interested today in verse number 16, that portion of Scripture where the Bible says, "Necessity is laid upon me." There's never been a time, certainly in my lifetime, and maybe in all of our Christian history, there's never been a time when Christians are more needed than they are today. Amen. Never been a day of darkness where Christian people and the influence of the church is needed more than it is today. In the past, God has used men like Spurgeon and Finney and D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and Dr. Roberson, and we could just go on and name names of heroes of the faith from days gone by. I mean, men who stood and preached repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Men that stood with a clarion voice and said, "Thus saith the Lord." I mean, men who said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Men that said, "Be sure your sins will find you out." Oh, there's been some men in days gone by that were faithful. They stood under immense persecution, and they were faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friend and people and Christian brother and sister and preachers of the central Indiana Independent Baptist Fellowship. God has not called Spurgeon, and God has not called Finney, but he's called you, and he's called me for this day, and for this hour, and for this purpose, that we might stand in the midst of a lost and a dying world, in the darkness and the days of discouragement and despair, and to stand and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. God has called you, and he's called me for this moment. I thought about the ministry, evangelist, pastor, missionary, and all, and God has deacons, and my friend, I thought about the place where God has put me, and my friend, the Lord has placed me at Liberty Baptist Church, and there's no doubt and no hesitation in my mind that God has placed me there as the under-shepherd to feed his people and to tend to their spiritual needs and to preach the gospel. And my friend, for us to be in the wrong place is one thing, but we consider to be in the wrong place means that the right place is vacant, is something entirely different. And my friend, may we stand today and plant our feet in some spiritual cement and be like the Apostle Paul when he stood before the Ephesian elders and said, "None of these things move me." Oh, may we stand and stand for the gospel's sake and preach with power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Glory, hallelujah. God has called us here at this moment and for this purpose. I thought about the providence of God. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, my friend, I mean, it's a web of many threads woven together with marvelous skill. And my friend, as we consider the dark days, some of the dark days in the Old Testament, and we consider how God worked, we're reminded that God used two convicts in an Egyptian prison to bring Joseph to a place where he would be governor. God used a lady to go down to the river to take a bath to save Moses and his people. Oh, listen, my friend. And God used a thoughtful father who was endeared to his sons that were in the army that God might bring David before Goliath. And my friend, he used the beauty of a Hebrew girl and the fascination of a king to save the Hebrew race. And God works in miraculous ways. He uses people as vessels of clay for his honor and for his glory and for his purpose. And it's not about me, and it's never been about you, but it's all about him, the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world, who gave his life and shed his blood at the cross of Calvary, that a sinner such as myself might be saved by his marvelous grace. Oh, glory. I mean, God has called you here for this purpose and this hour. He's placed you in this day that you might stand and fight the good fight of faith and not back up or go to the right or the left or turn and run, but to stand by God's grace and preach and be faithful till Jesus takes you home. The only thing better than a good start is to finish well. Oh, my. Now, I thought about this. God has placed me and you and many of you in a place to shepherd his people. People are hurting. They're discouraged. They're confused. They're in fear. They feel like their families and their homes and their jobs and their liberty and their churches are all in jeopardy. And my friend, they they come with good reason and good purpose. But my friend, if there was ever a day for God's men to stand and be a light to a lost and a dying world, to be salt and light, to be the shepherd that God has called us to be, it's the day in which we live. Now, you do what you want to, and that's between you and the Lord. But I wouldn't consider right now, it wouldn't cross my mind right now to leave a church where I was at in the midst of what we're going through right now. Oh, listen, God's people need you. They need you to be faithful. They need you to be stable. They need you to be obedient. They need you to be on your knees and in your word. And they need you to preach and teach and love on their people and their families. God's called you to a place for a particular purpose at this time. He didn't call Spurgeon. And he didn't call Ironside or Finney. He didn't call William Blakey. He didn't call Arthur Pink. He didn't call men of days gone by. He called you and he called me for this hour and this day. Glory, hallelujah. If anybody that's here today has heard me preach, probably a single time since February of 2020, you've probably heard me say these four things. I've been telling our people, the church, these four things over and over as I stand before them in the midst of such confusion, in the midst of all that's going on. And I tell them week in and week out, we must not lose confidence in God. Glory. We must be like David and learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Oh, listen, we must realize the urgency of the hour. And glory, glory, we must set our affection on things above. Oh, listen, this is no time to get shook up. It's a time to look up, because my friend, our redemption draweth nigh. Glory, hallelujah. And to the CIIBF, I say this morning, necessity is laid upon me. So what Paul is writing here in this verse of scripture, in verse 16, he says necessity is laid upon me. I mean, in the context of the whole chapter, Paul is making a defense of his ministry. I mean, Paul was being examined, and glory, whether you like it or not, my friend, you're being examined. Hey, listen, and as others examine us, where will they find us? But more importantly, where will God find us? And we must realize that we must emphasize the things that God says is important and de-emphasize the things that God does not emphasize. We must put the emphasis where God puts the emphasis. Oh, listen. I mean, necessity is laid upon me. Oh, listen. What will God find when he examines our ministry? Oh, listen. The Apostle Paul said here, he said, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, the pastor's called on to do a lot of things. I've moved furniture. I've carried people out of state. I've sat by the bedside of loved ones, preached funerals and officiated weddings and baptisms and youth rallies and dinners. And a pastor's called upon to wear a lot of hats. But my friend, may we never, ever forget that the primary thing that God has called you and me to do is preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if our friends and family and loved ones will ever be saved, it'll be because somebody shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. Glory, hallelujah. There's three things that I want to share with you today that I see in this text. Necessity is laid upon me. I see, first of all, that it's providential and personal. Providential and personal. I mean, it's by the providence of God. And it was specific in this case to the Apostle Paul. And we see there in a chapter, in verse 1 of this same chapter, Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I seen Jesus and Christ our Lord? I like that word free. Hey, listen, my friend, I'm an independent Baptist, but I'm not mad about it. Hey, my friend, I'm a free Baptist. I've been set at liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know all master except the Lord himself. And one of these days, I'll give an account. Not to you or not to somebody else, but I'm going to stand at the Bema seat and stand in the presence of the Lord and give an account for this ministry. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. The Apostle Paul here, he's certifying his ministry. And we might say that he was not daddy called. And he wasn't mommy sent. He didn't go to the Tarsusian school of preaching. It was not a career choice, but he was called and chosen of the Lord. Hey, listen, my friend, if God calls you to do a work, you'll stand till Jesus takes you home. That was the difference in Paul's life. He knew that God had called him to the work. Oh, listen. Think about Brother Robert King. Brother Ron Elam rode over with me today, my pastor. We rode over together, and it was such a blessing to be able to fellowship with Brother Ron. And we had a mutual friend, Brother Robert King, who went on to be with the Lord and just a little over a year ago. And he was from Scott County, Tennessee. And actually, he was married to my double second cousin. Yeah, in Tennessee, we have double second cousins. I'll tell you about that later. But listen, my friend, Robert went somewhere and was candidating for a pastor, and they wanted to know what seminary he'd been to. I'm talking about a man, my friend. You just have to know Robert. Listen, and they began to ask him all of these things, and he told him that he had been to the GOHS, and they said, where's that? And I got all those letters back backwards, but he said, I've been to the School of the Holy Ghost, the SOHG. Hey, listen, my friend. You can have all the training in the world, and I'm for education. And someone might say it's expensive. You ought to try the price of ignorance. And I tell you, it's a whole lot worse. But my friend, Paul was called, and God commissioned him, and he sent him forth to preach the gospel. He was called and chosen. I want to read that there in Acts chapter 9 and verses 15 and 16. I love those scriptures. It's dear to my heart. Are we doing okay today? Are you glad to be saved? Are you happy in the Lord? The Bible said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Now this is the Lord speaking to Ananias. He said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Listen. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying when you're down, when you're discouraged, when you're defeated, when you feel like you're in despair, just remember that it was the Lord, glory, that died for you at Calvary and saved your lost dying soul by his atoning blood, that he lifted you up out of the miry clay and he set your feet on the solid rock, and he's called you and he's chosen you and he's commissioned you to preach the gospel. Well, glory. We should never be down in the mouth. We got too much to be happy about. Hey, we have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is not looking for defeated pastors. They're looking for some old time, blood bought, born again, Holy Ghost, God sent, called leather lung preachers to stand and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory, hallelujah. Not only that, but it was powerful. We find that in our text verse, that word necessity. I mean, necessity is a word that implies great importance, of the utmost need, that it cannot be done without. May I say today that I think the church is essential. The church is necessary. Hey, may I say today that this King James Bible, the Word of God, is essential and it's necessary and that it's a necessity. Oh, listen, I mean, it implied that God had chose Paul and called him to do a work of utmost importance. There's no greater work and no greater calling in life than the commission we receive from God to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. I mean, listen, men carry titles of great weight. I mean, fame and fortune and public notoriety. But there's not a more important person than a gospel preacher. Oh, listen, thank God for some men that have stood and preached this powerful gospel. I mean, when Paul, they're writing in Romans, it just took him 15 verses because by the time he got to the 16th, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." There's power. There's power in the gospel. Oh, listen. Hey, the world doesn't need a better educational system. The world doesn't need social reform. And old-time blood-bought preachers certainly ought to not be in the business of social justice. And my friend, we don't need a new religion. And we certainly don't need another Bible. And we don't need more government. What we need is more gospel and more preaching and more Word of God and people to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's powerful. Only the gospel has the power to change lives. It was personal, providential, and powerful. And I'll leave you with this thought in verse 22 as we come to a close. It had purpose. He says there in our scripture, let me find my place. I turn the page and there we are. I knew it wasn't right, but I looked down at it. We share that 22nd verse, and of course Paul is preaching he's not preaching compromise. He's preaching how he reached out to the Jew and others, and he said, "To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, and that I might," this is verse 21 I'm reading, "that I might gain them that are without law." In verse 22, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men." And notice what he said, "that I might by all means save some." There's a purpose to this call. Necessity is laid upon me. May I change the scripture to say it like this, and I think it will be okay with the Lord. Necessity is laid upon you. Necessity is laid upon me. God has called us to preach a powerful gospel. He's called us with purpose. And he's called us with purpose. He's called us for this day and for this hour and for this time. He did not call Spurgeon and he did not call others. He called you and he called me. Necessity is laid upon me. Oh, my friend. And yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's the message that will lay to my heart, Brother Nichols. God bless you. Thank you for being attentive today. You've been a wonderful congregation of people to preach for, and thank you for supporting the message. And I know, and I learned a long time ago, that I'm a nobody, and that I'm nothing without the Lord. It'll take the Lord to do the work that only He can do. Amen. Praise His holy name.